91.7 ABC, Coast 10 to 10, Trevor Jackson in this morning. Well, considering how much time most of us spend at work, how much time I spend here, it's interesting to see how our workplaces are evolving. And not only how it's evolving, but how those changes are affecting the way we operate. And I'm just wondering, how much different will it be in 20 years' time, or thereabouts? Who better to ask than futurist Morris Misolowski, who joins us now. Morris, good morning.
Good morning, Trevor.
Look, I don't know how you can think that far ahead 20 years, because I'm thinking, if you go backwards, for instance, 20 years ago, I remember the first mobile phones, well, that I worked with, my job then, probably late 80s or around 1990, was pretty much the size of a small car battery. I think we used to call it a brick. You had to lug this thing around. You had to be, like, very physically fit to lug one of these things around.
What?
And you look at it now, we're walking around with, you know, cloud computing and mobile devices, you know, that fits in our top pocket.
You're absolutely right. It's just come so far. It did hit Australia in the 80s, and we did start off with that briefcase. We actually started off with that big box in the boot, if anyone remembers that far. That took hours and hours to install and had the cord in the middle of the car that you had to pick up, all that
stuff.
Oh,
that's right. That was only for really, really rich people.
Oh, really, 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 really rich. And then we went into the briefcase, as you said. My first mobile phone was 88 and it cost me $4,300.
Wow.
And that, I mean, now it's a lot of money, but then was just a fortune.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was difficult then to get anyone to phone you because hardly anyone had ever used it and they weren't willing to pay the huge amount of money that it would have cost for a phone call. And it used to drop out even more than it does now.
Well, it's good to know that some things have improved.
Well, they have, but we still get dropouts. Phones have almost become a commodity, though, haven't they? I mean, they're almost for free in some instances. If you sign up to one of the plans or do something, that's how far we've come.
I mean, will the cost of information be a lot cheaper, in which case it's going to be make us far more plugged into the wider world?
We already are. I think in some ways we're over-plugged into the world, meaning that we have such access to information now. Even 10 years ago, we would never have thought that we could find the answers to the most inane questions we didn't even know we wanted to ask. And now
Steve Jobs came along and told us what we needed, and we went, yes, Steve.
Absolutely. I mean, yes, three bags full, Steve. And we now carry around devices, as you said in the opening, in our pockets, our handbags, our briefcases, and we pull them out without thinking twice to find answers to all kinds of things. And I really talk about information, knowledge, and wisdom. And we're drowning in information. We really have far too much to be able to work through. And what we're going to really try and swim our way through over the next 5 to 10 years is making sense out of it. How do we actually use that stuff for niceness, as Get Smart used to say?
Yeah, that's going to be hard, isn't it, really? It's filtering all of that information that we're bombarded with, and undoubtedly it'll be even more so. So what will working life be like for us in 20 years' time?
Well, really what we've just said is the premise for where we're headed forward, that we're going to spend much of the next couple of decades sorting through this very, very new world that we have. We've lived through a revolution that most of us don't realise because it's been a day-to-day activity. We have changed, as we did with the Industrial Revolution, we have changed the way that we see the world forever. And we now live in a dual world. We live in the physical world and the digital world. And the two of them are one and the same, meaning that we can see things with our own eyes and use our senses for it. But we now increasingly trust this thing inside of a screen. And all of our workplaces have changed irrevocably for it. We know that at the end of this decade that the baby boomers, my people my age, will mostly be out of the workforce full-time and that we will have the Gen Xers in charge and running the show. That's a generation that have grown up with this internet, this digital world that many baby boomers have taken for granted or seen as a bolt-on.
Yeah.
So the things that they're seeing, the ways that they'll run their businesses, the things that they'll want from us are going to be based around that dual world. Yeah, it does. One of the strong realities across the planet and into Australia is that we most probably will not have enough jobs for everybody to be employed by somebody else, nor will we have the mindset to want to do it for many people. So we're going to find increasing numbers. In fact, the ABS, Random Bureau of Statistics, tells us there'll be 1 in 4 people working as entrepreneurs in Australia by the year 2020. And a solopreneur is really just is the next extension of that. That's somebody that works on their own for themselves and doesn't have anybody else around them. They've come up with a brilliant idea or thought and they're able to turn that into a living.
Okay. Does that suggest, in general, that most of us will not be working in a traditional office as we do now, that we'll be more mobile and possibly even working from home a
I think so. I think what we'll find is that the four walls that we're used to, that 9-to-5 of turning up to a particular office or space, will change dramatically. Of course, for some industries that doesn't make sense, for nursing and things, for obvious places where we need a physical building will always remain. But again, if we go back to our friends at the Australian Bureau of Statistics, they tell us again 2020, a third of the workers will be working remotely or away from a fixed office. We already have lots of people to do that. We have our sales reps, lots of people on the road, truck drivers, those kinds of people. And what we're saying in mainstream work is that do we really need people physically housed here, or are they better off at a customer space? Are they better off working from home? Do they need to work traditional 9-to-5 hours, or should we just be working to task and project, which is the way I think we'll be doing it? In other words, it doesn't matter when we do it, as long as the job gets done within a timely manner to the specifications it does. And for all of those reasons, and that we have technology that allows us to connect easily to anywhere, anytime, I think we'll see lots and lots of people move away from the traditional office space.
Yes, it's probably happening faster than we realise. So no surprise that the rising industries will be aged care and healthcare, and obviously anything that working in digital technologies or robotics. But what about the new jobs on the horizons? What would telematic engineer be, friend?
Yeah, this is an interesting blend, again, between that digital and the physical world. What we're looking at with telematic engineers are people that do part of their work online, the engineering, designing part, and maybe part of it physically. For instance, in an everyday sense, there's an American firm that allows you online to go online and work through a number of almost cartoon characteristics. So what you're doing is building a pair of jeans for yourself. You're able to go in there, and on one machine with an avatar, which is an online cartoon character, you're able to interact with them using your keyboard and your mouse and show them the colour and the cloth that you want with your jeans. The next one does embroidery for you. The next one does pockets and zips. So you move through a series of stages online designing your jeans with an avatar, and then at the end of it you see yourself in a digital sense wear the jeans, and then from there you can press a button and have them made for you, and they're delivered, this is in America, delivered to you within 48 hours exactly as you specified it, with all of the quirkiness that you've asked for.
I love it. And we can all be individuals.
Absolutely. And we're going to see more and more of that. Telematic engineers are not just in that sense. We're also seeing them used in industry. Often IBM, for instance, when they have the really huge computers, if there's a fault with them, the people who are physically looking after them will all get online. They'll gather around virtually, around this virtual facsimile of the beast that's gone bad, and they'll all be able to work out what's wrong with it. And at that point, when they've figured out what's wrong online, they'll then do the physical work of trying to fix the computer. So we're going to see a lot of that blending between the online, offline activity.
What about older people who are not as quick on the uptake of new technologies and new ideas? Are they going to feel left out?
There will obviously be a group of people that will always feel left out, but I think that that's actually getting smaller and smaller. I do a lot of work around the aged care industry, and it's fascinating how well what we would have considered to be the traditional person that might not be comfortable with computers has just taken to them. You see the more mature, the 70s, 80s, 90s year old, now using them really well. They're Skyping with their grandkids, they've gotten a hold of how to do banking, they're able to use Facebook, they're able to use all kinds of things. And in that industry, it's actually being used as a way to keep them mentally alive and alert.
Oh, that's just so 2012, Morris.
It is, but we're going to push forward into that kind of thing. I mean, if you want to go further, we talk about Alzheimer's robots that have just come onto the scene.
Oh, no.
Not robots with Alzheimer's.
No, thankfully. Coming to work.
So what we're seeing is these little robots that actually take care of one patient with Alzheimer's, and they monitor them ongoing. It's this cute little robot in the old parlance, it's about a foot and a half high, and it sits there and it has these wonderful eyes and mouth, so it's kind of humanoid in the way that the top half of it works. And it plays games with the older person who has Alzheimer's, or the person who has Alzheimer's regardless of age, and monitors their responses. So it's constantly looking for eye movement, for head movement, and when it realises that that's not within the norm of what it should be happening, then calls for help and assistance.
Oh, well, too easy.
It is, and it's quite beautiful in the way that it works, and the relationship between the two, being the patient and the robot, is actually a very, very interesting thing to watch.
Look, it looks as though it will be very much a brave new world. Morris?
Well, a brave new fascinating world.
Indeed. If you'd like to follow Morris and his thoughts, you can check him out on Facebook. It's so 2012, though.
Isn't it?
Facebook.com/businessfuturist. Morris Michalowski, been a pleasure to catch up.
Thank you, Trevor. Have a great morning.
Thank you.